Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Hey, guys.
Yes?
Yeah.
So, I have some great news. One of our tweets from Junior Eurovision about Daria
Vracevic.
Yeah, I knew that. It was she saw and liked our tweet about her song.
Really?
Yeah. So
wait, I hope we said something nice.
Yeah. I think so. And in celebration of that, we are going to be a Daria fan show now.
Yeah.
And that's it. Nothing else.
12 points for Daria.
Daria.
Yeah.
Everybody, stay tuned for
Daria Watch. And then we cut to the music. Daria! Daria!
Hello and welcome to 12 Points for Daria, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, as laughed at by Princess Anne. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And I'm Daria, and we've got a lot to go over this week, including some non-Daria things, I guess.
We do have a lot to go over.
Yeah.
We really do.
We're good.
So let's talk about our social media really quick. You can hit us up on Twitter or Facebook at 12 Points USA. That's 12 Points USA. You can email us at 12pointsforamerica@gmail.com. And we do now have a new website. We maybe had one last time. Now we really have one. We have a new website, 12pointsforamerica.com. It's the same URL, but it's shiny and new. It goes with our new logo.
Ooh,
and so on. On the topic of that, we did also change hosts. So I want to note, you may have noticed you re-downloaded some old episodes or have double episodes, things like that, because of the changeover. That's my bad. I'm sorry about that. And you can let us know if you run into any further issues. I know unsubscribing and resubscribing usually takes care of everything. But
make sure you resubscribe.
Yes. You have to do both. You must do both. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Feel free to tweet us about it and complain about it, like Daria.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
So, yeah. Holy cow. It's only been a week. There is so much Eurovision news. Eurovision 2020 news. Where do we want to start?
Well, let's see. The folks at Avrotros, the Dutch national broadcaster, have given us so many little tidbits of goodness for what to expect from Rotterdam next year.
Did you say Albatross?
Avrotros.
Oh, okay.
Close
enough. My favorite Pokemon.
But just don't kill it or else, you know, we have to wander in the...
Yeah, gotta go find one again. So they have a new logo.
Yes,
it looks exactly like ours because they know who to come to.
Yeah. For design choices. Like their heroes, 12 Points from America, Eurovision has a new logo.
Yay. So it's based on the concept of the breakdown of the colors of the flags of all the nations that participate in sort of a rotated version of when they eventually enter the contest. So it's actually very kind of cool and abstract. I think it's either flags of all nations or a dartboard on speed. You be the judge. Let us know what you think.
I think they went to the subreddit Data is Beautiful and...
and they just got...
was like,
they wanted to make a pie chart of them.
Yeah. I think this will work.
And it does.
Yeah. Franz, get on that.
So correct me if I'm wrong. It only includes the flags of the participating countries.
Exactly. So you're not going to see Turkey in there. You're not going to see Morocco or Andorra. Sad face.
Not till next year.
No.
Come on, Andorra. We're rooting
for you. Gabon or Equatorial Guinea. They're all missing.
No. Yugoslavia could make a comeback.
Kazakhstan.
Get right on that, Danny.
I'll go call the ghost of Tina. We also have a look at the stage that we're going to have.
It's pretty. Shiny.
It is pretty.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm glad to be describing everything in a audio medium for everyone out there listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
We have a lot of visual information about the contest, and I'm glad that you guys can live with us. It's like theater for the blind. Mm-hmm. It's magnificent.
Our next episode will be Scratch and Sniff.
Yeah.
So the stage is flat. It's
elevated from the
from the crowd.
From the crowd.
It is in the arena as expected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. It's a little bit plain.
Which I think
circle?
Is good.
Square?
Rectangular.
No.
Circle takes the square.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
They're kind of going back to the tradition after abandoning it for Lisbon for a while. It's a pretty impressive LED display behind it.
Oh, yeah.
Probably in the stage as well. And they'll hopefully incorporate that. A lot of visual action.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the Billie Jean video.
Exactly.
I think because it is such a big blank canvas, a blank slate, people are going to be able to do a whole bunch of work with it. You're going to have a lot of space for people to bring in the crazy props if they want to probably bring in the pyros if they want to. But if they want to keep it simple, they can. So I think it's going to lend itself to a wide variety of different stagings if delegations want to indulge.
You should take a leaf out of Russia's book and bring back water. Everyone's about pyro. I want water.
Water's hard to clean up, though.
Sure.
You just add water.
You just clean up fire.
Just fire just
cleans itself up.
Just add
Among
water.
Among other things, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for the staging. I think somebody's going to do something nuts. Like, there's so
As
much
always.
Just open space.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even more so than in previous years. Maybe two hamster wheels?
Ooh, there's a rip now.
It's like one hamster wheel.
Inside.
But double.
Double. Yeah.
Inside another hamster wheel.
Oh. Ooh.
Wheelception.
I'm curious to see if they have any other contraptions as part of the staging. Kind of like what we saw in 2017.
Oh, with the lighting rig?
The lighting rig that kind of lowered down. And last year, too, they had that big scaffolding kind of thing.
Mm.
They had the thing for Mickey that just like kind of quasi-rotated and tipped.
Oh, the giant IKEA. No, that was... Yeah,
the giant IKEA, the big Billy
bookcase.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. He also had that big, like, robot thing for a while.
Yeah.
That was San Marino.
No, those are the little robots.
That was San Marino 2 years ago.
Wow. We got the jokes, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. We also have hosts.
Yes.
We have hosts announced for this.
Yeah, just a few hours ago as of this recording.
Yeah.
We've got, I don't know how to say these, so I'm going to pass it over to Derek. Or no, Sam. Sam. Probably Sam.
Brasilia Twombly. She has been on its...
I hate you guys so much.
Edcilia Rombley, is that it?
Edcilia Rombley. Yeah.
Okay,
let's get ready to... Oh, you're not supposed to do that. You'll get sued. Never mind.
All right, yeah, so Edcilia Rombley. So for Eurovision fans, big name, beloved name. Twice she has represented the Netherlands at Eurovision, coming in a really fantastic fourth place in 1998 with Hemel en Aarde, Heaven and Earth. Really kind of a jam and a fan favorite. We don't actually... Let's toss to... Just a little clip of Hemel en Aarde, just so we can hear what her voice kind of sounds like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Derek! That is for my
Edcilia came back to Eurovision in 2007 with a song On Top of the World. She didn't qualify from the semifinal, but it was one of those big honking semifinals, like 20 different acts in there, so odds were a little bit tough back then, but still really, very well loved. She gave the Dutch points in 99, 2007, I think, and 2015. She's hosted Eurovision Concert, which is that big Amsterdam preview show last year. She'll do the same in 2020. And fun fact, she is the sister-in-law of Trentje Oosterhuis, who sang for the Netherlands in 2015.
Oh, she was really bad.
Address your complaints to Eric.
That's fine.
At Eric,
fine.
It's E-R-I-K, is tweeting.
As I recall, Europe agreed with me.
Yeah.
She didn't do that badly. Wait, was she? No, maybe 15th or something.
I can't remember.
Host number two.
Chantal Janssen, I'm assuming it's Janssen, not Janssen. Actress and TV presenter. Currently the host of The Voice of Holland, Dancing with the Stars in the Netherlands. She's on the jury of Holland's Got Talent. And, fun fact, on her IMDb page, you can see that she played a Scandinavian porn star in Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo.
And they said that wouldn't pay off for her.
They said her career would go nowhere if she did a Rob Schneider movie.
Nope.
Who?
Moving swiftly along. Jan Smit, our male host this year, is a singer. He started having Dutch chart hits at the tender age of 10. Kind of been a member of the Dutch musical scene since then. He's a current member of the group De Toppers.
Ah, The Toppers.
Ah, oh, that local Midwest
they make
pizza
really
place.
Terrible pizza, yes.
Everybody outside of the Midwest has no idea what's going on. If you're
Just
in the Midwest,
laugh, it's very funny.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the Toppers, in a previous iteration, represented the Netherlands in 2009. Mm-hmm. Didn't do super well. But, so Jan Smit joined the group in 2017, I think, and has been with them ever since.
Let's roll to that song.
Ooh.
Derek! Shine, people, let your light shine. Let the darkness fade away.
Step into a brighter day. So, yeah, that's the Toppers pre-Jan Smit.
They're way better now with Jan Smit.
I think so.
He really ties the group together.
Anyway, he's been the Eurovision live commentator since 2011, so you can tell the guy's a fan. He loves Eurovision. He loves this whole crazy community. So it's nice to have somebody on stage, actually a couple of people on stage this time around, who know the contest from the inside, who love it, and won't treat it like a joke. So I'm looking forward to it. I think they'll be a good group.
Good.
Yeah, I was taking a look at the Eurovision subreddit, shout out to the Eurovision subreddit, it's just called Eurovision.
Oh, how lot am of, I supposed to remember a, that?
I don't know. It's just write it down. It's Eurovision, and
the European.
There's
Revision.
a lot of comments about how excited they are for Etzelia, how excited they are for Chantal, and how not excited they are for Jan Smit. Now I don't know Jan Smit. I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy, but at least
I haven't seen a picture of Jan Smit. Is he just like a little milk toast white boy? I'm guessing dirty blonde hair. Balding.
Dark hair.
Am I still... balding, though? Did I get everything else right?
Not yet. Here, let me bring this up for Danny.
No.
You at home can, you know, also just Google. So
just look into your speaker.
So that's Etzelia, that's Chantal, and that's Jan.
Okay. All right. I'm already bored.
It's going to
It looks like the only one there who does not use Moroccan oil.
Ooh, sponsorship.
Yeah.
Is he going to grow his hair out?
Houses.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he looks like
one of the Property Brothers.
Looks like his face should be on a bus stop bench.
Guaranteed offer.
That's another one for the Midwest
that's
audience.
Minnesota joke.
I'm just looking at Jan's dimples. It looks like he could hide his loose change up in there.
Yikes.
Wow. This is really going to help us with the accreditation crowd. I just want to note my favorite comment that I've seen. A lot of folks are saying that they're not super big fans of Jan Smit as a commentator for like the show in general, so they're maybe mildly excited for them as a host because he won't be commentating. But one user, shout out to this user, said, here for Etzelia Romley. She competed in Eurovision in 1998 and 2007. Chantal is a professional and she should be good. I'm just worried about Jan Smit's English, which prompted the response, Jan Smit has no charisma in Dutch either.
Do not worry, he'll be just as good.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see. I don't know. I'm just a reporter reporting the news. Don't blame me. Let's see what else we've got. We also have a creative team.
Yeah, so that's everything from choreography, script writing, stage direction, all that good stuff. It's going to be an all-Dutch team.
Yeah!
I know that in recent years you've had a lot of sort of outsourcing a lot of the production to, say, the Swedes or other Germans, other groups that have a lot of more recent experience. I believe,
Germans?
I believe the stage is designed by Florian Vieter, who is German, but super experienced. He's done a whole bunch of Eurovision stages in the past. But otherwise, it's going to be an entirely in-house, in-nation Dutch team, which
so
is cool.
So what does that mean? Like, what does that mean for the show? Do you think?
Well, it's going to be fresh blood. People who haven't necessarily done this before. They're obviously very experienced in other bits of television, but they haven't necessarily done Eurovision before. So hopefully that means there's going to be maybe some more innovation, some more new. I have no idea, honestly. But yeah, so it'll be interesting. No more Christer Björkman, who seems to pop up every year.
Since 2015.
Yeah.
He's basically been the face of the show.
Yeah, and big into Melody Festival. And we'll talk a little bit more about Sweden and their relationship with Eurovision later in the show, because that's what we're actually talking about today. But yeah, so it's going to be an all-Dutch team for the Netherlands in 2020. So we'll see what they come up with.
Yay!
Yay!
Let's see. We have another artist.
We do.
Cyprus is not going for
Fuego the
for
Third.
Fuego the Third. Well,
they could.
They might
they
be, but
Man Fuego. They have a cream for that.
It will be Man Fuego. Sandro Nicolas.
Yep.
And his song Deja Vu.
Wow.
So, let's see. Sandro is not especially from Cyprus.
He is Greek-American by way of Germany.
Yeah.
Love it.
Played Obama in...
No.
The City of Hope.
Apparently...
Well, that's a callback right there, Derek.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a Greek-American, born in Germany, became famous on The Voice of Germany, represented the United States at New Wave, which is a Russian-based talent competition and music contest.
How do you do?
I don't actually remember. New Wave, it's not as easy to find the results of New Wave.
Fair enough.
But it wasn't bad.
I don't actually care.
but yeah, now he's singing for Cyprus. So for the record, Cyprus has not actually had a Cypriot-born artist representing them since 2017 now. So
which one was that?
That was Hovid, Gravity.
Oh,
yeah. That was kind
I
of a
he was
fun.
Armenian.
Armenian Cypriot descent. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. So, yes, yeah, Sandra Nicholas, that'll be coming out moderately soon. I have no idea when the song is coming out. They weren't really saying. But then again, the year is flying by so quickly. All the songs have to be into the EBU by early March. So, honestly, at this time of year, blink and you'll have a song. But, yeah, Sandro for Cyprus.
Good name.
Sandro.
He's got his own line of Moroccan oil.
Yeah.
By Sandro.
Are the so any word on the postcards yet? Will they be pouring Moroccan oil over their naked bodies?
It's an all Dutch team, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all going to be in the red light district.
Keep dreaming, guys.
I don't know. Sandro might look good in oil.
Sandro.
Oh, yeah, sorry. His name used to be spoken in hushed whispers.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
All right, what's next? What do we got?
We have the songs for Estee Lauder's
guys, it's,
competition.
Oh, I hate you so much. Estee Lauder, a song for Estonia. Yes, so we do have the songs.
Sam, I think the company is Estee Lauder.
I hate you all so much. No, I don't hate you. I love you very much, even though you get on my nerves.
Yay!
You're like a real family.
Yeah, so tell us more about Estee Lauder.
Great moisturizers, but I mean, no, you mean actual, I don't even know.
Like Moroccan, oh boy.
No. Anyway, yes, all of the songs and their music videos are available at Estee Lauder's official website. If you go to menu.eer.ee and just scope out Estee Lauder, they have everything on there, lyrics, all that good stuff. A couple of familiar faces to us. We kind of knew we're coming down the pipeline. Laura, who's represented Estonia twice already. We see Uku Suviste, who came in second at the national final last year. Traffic, who's a big favorite of mine. And for some odd reason, there seems to be a group of sausages that are rapping about Los Angeles.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
They got my vote.
I know what I said.
Huh. Let's play a clip.
Song not found.
In other national final news, or possibly the complete absence of national final, France has decided to retire their current Destination Eurovision national final format.
How long has that been going?
Just a couple years.
Oh, okay.
But it's been sort
They've
of a
been
fan
all over
favorite.
The place. Yeah, for 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in terms of their selection process.
Yeah. So we're not sure if they are just trying a new national final format or if they're just going completely internal. We don't really know. We'll see what France eventually decides.
They're sending Daft Punk.
Oh, God, please. 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 Please.
That'd be great. They'd have to have vocals. I guess they can just get Pharrell or Julian Casablancas or both.
Oh!
They have room for two more people on stage.
That is.
Yeah. Oh, the guy that did Sandstorm, what's he up to?
Yeah. Not much. He doesn't sing either.
Wow.
Well, we couldn't get Pharrell, but...
We did get Derude Sandstorm.
We did get Derude Sandstorm.
Oh, boy.
Or Robin Thicke.
Oh.
Well. All right.
France is a country that I really want to see do well. One, because I want to go to France again, but also because they have such an incredible music tradition. It's like the UK. Like, they should be doing better than they have. And they've had some decent songs. Merci did well. Mm-hmm. Je Cherche
so
was
good.
So good. Probably in my top 5 Eurovision songs of all time.
And they've been doing so great at Junior.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
So there's
that
there's
Bim Bam Toi.
Oh, love that one.
I'd argue Requiem was quite good too.
I liked
it. Didn't
Requiem.
Perform as well, but it was
I liked
a very
it.
Good song.
I liked Georges Bizet. I thought he was pretty good. Thought that was a nice.
Oh, remember when we saw his grave?
Yeah.
That was
George's
cool.
Bizet.
Yeah. Let's get Bizet. Moving on. Albania's... Sam, help me out here.
Festivale e Kungus.
Kungus.
Oh, I'm so glad she's on the program. Where would we be?
It literally just means song festival, guys.
Oh, no.
In light of the earthquake that they actually had to confront last week, the national final songs have been delayed. The release has been delayed for at least a couple of days. Date has not necessarily been given for that, but honestly, Albania can take all the time that they need.
It's not exactly the most festive environment.
Not really. Our thoughts and good vibes go out to Albania right now.
Godspeed, Albania.
We love you. Të dua. I know how to say something in Albanian.
Ooh.
Dula?
Të dua.
Oh.
I love
it means
you.
Sandro.
In other news, we in the United States have kind of been complaining over the last couple of years how from 2015 onward, the contest has been geo-blocked on YouTube, and it's really, really a pain in the butt.
Like, it sucks.
It really does suck. But the folks at the EBU have thrown us a nice bone over the last couple of weeks. They have been releasing some vintage Eurovisions in high def onto YouTube for us, and they're not geo-blocked. Mm-hmm. So far we've got 2012 to 2015. They're all on the YouTubes.
We've watched a couple already.
They look so great, fun. Too.
They really do.
The quality is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. They've been moving backwards from 2015, so I'm guessing by the time this show releases, 2011 will also be available.
Oh,
my fingers are crossed, though, that they go the other direction and we finally get 2016. Because
for Christmas?
Yes. All I want for Christmas is my 2016. Yeah, music.
I honestly think it's a kind of wishful thinking. I think the YouTube might be a little bit more locked down with that. A whole bunch of contract BS that kind of happened.
I know.
Do you think the EBU could just buy out the contract from Logo or whoever has it?
Right. Like, it seems like they could get it done if they set out to get it done. And yeah. I don't know. I don't know if there's a plan for that. I don't know if... Elizabeth Warren... Get on this.
If Sony and Disney could make Spider-Man work, then Eurovision and YouTube can make this work.
Especially
if they're trying to push the show more into the United States market.
I agree.
I think this would be a good time, because they got it on Netflix, they're doing America Vision, they got that movie coming out, plug. but to have the more recent contests in there.
Would be fantastic. Yeah. Get on that EBU. Granted, I ask Janula about this every single year at the EBU press conference, and there's really no motion on it yet. So.
Yeah. Plus, it's a little more popular in the U.S. now, based on a single data point that Danny found.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So I was on Tumblr. Tumblr is doing its year-end rundowns of pretty much every category of, fandom on Tumblr. And they did musical groups, which is distinct from solo acts. Solo acts, like Taylor Swift is number one. She'll always be number one, apparently.
Yeah.
But number 10... The 10th most reblogged and tagged musical group on Tumblr in 2019 was Hatari.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Beating out the 1975 and Fall Out Boy, Hatari.
Wow.
Yeah. On Tumblr, of all places,
too. On Tumblr, narrowly edged out by The Beatles. The Beatles were number 9. Number 10 was Hatari.
Are you sure the people aren't just, fanning out over, an old John Wayne movie?
No. Yes, Hatari! Yes. I can say that Tumblr is probably the most... the most aggressively leftist social media platform out there. So that probably accounts for that. The other half of their fandom is probably just weird fan pictures that people draw of them kissing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's Tumblr. That tracks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, they're cousins.
Who in Iceland isn't?
Fair yeah. point.
There's an app for that.
Literally is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Want to mention, this is a little bit belated. I just want to give a quick shout out to the Twin Cities Eurovision jury. They are the sort of the local Eurovision fan group. A few weeks ago, they held a Eurovision dance party that Derek and I went to.
I'm kicking myself I wasn't able to go.
It was so great. Ugh. It was so great. It's at the Saloon. The Saloon, for those of you who are not based in the Twin Cities, is...
Minneapolis's most acceptable gay bar.
Yes. It is very fun and... quite gay, as they say.
Yeah.
Was the shower running when you were there by any chance?
Not in the room we were in.
No. They have 4 or 5 rooms.
Yeah, it's a big place.
With different music, different designs.
Yeah. At one point, 2 people on stilts walked by and gave us a blessing.
That's normal for the Saloon, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. That's what I imagined the Saloon to be.
What did you see when you were there? What Eurovision acts?
So, somebody put together a pretty impressive playlist of live performances and music videos and things like that. I think what got the biggest response from the crowd was probably Conchita.
I missed that one.
Yeah, that was before
I got there late, so yeah. I think the biggest one I saw was You're the Only One by Sergei Lazarev. Got a huge response. They were singing along. And they had the staging, the live performance. So he was climbing up that wall. I was like, damn.
Like Kate Bush said.
Close enough. Anyway, folks, if you are part of that that group or have any control over whether it's run again, do it again. I want to go.
Yeah, do that thing again. It was great.
Let's do tonight again. I mean, that night.
Forget tomorrow. We could do tonight.
Boy, anyway. It sure is awkward. You know what would be a good thing to do right now?
What, Eric?
Maru!
Maru of Watch!
Maru of Watch.
What do you got?
So, Maru's new EP is now out in full.
Yay!
It's called... Oh, I should have prepared. I don't know what it's called, but it's new, and it's... And it's great. It's very Maru.
Sure.
If you know what I mean. Hellcat story. That's what it's called.
The one.
The story of Hellcat, as told by our friend Maru, based on the work by Tchaikovsky. It's good. And
it's
let's Maru-y. See.
Lots of big bass and farty trumpets.
Lots
and
of big bass and horniness is basically about 80% of the EP.
Mm-hmm.
It was released specifically by Warner Brothers Russia. Make of that what you will.
Well, that's
good for them.
Yeah. Well.
They're prepping for her announcement as the Russian artist.
Oh,
for 2020.
My God.
Well,
can you imagine?
They
anyway, that was Maru's Watch.
Maru's Watch.
I think that was all the news. Did we get all the news?
That's a lot of news.
Can you believe the show's been going for like 3 hours already?
Yeah,
that's crazy. Wow.
Where does gray hair come from?
So, Sweden.
Yeah.
Sweden.
Yeah. So we just started talking about, like, the acts were announced for Melody Festival, and we were going to have that as news, and then we just started talking more and more about Melody Festival and about Sweden at Eurovision whole.
No, we've talked a lot about Sweden at Eurovision.
Yeah.
They are one of the sort of standby countries in Eurovision and have been for a long time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to touch on with them.
But
oh, yeah.
How do you talk to your kids about Sweden?
About Sweden.
Gosh. Here's how. So... again, the acts have been announced for Melody Festival, and Melody Festival is Sweden's national final. It is
huge.
It is to some about of the scale as Eurovision itself.
I was going to say, in Sweden, it's probably bigger than Eurovision.
Ratings-wise, yeah. Honestly, I think the only thing that beats Sweden's national final, Melody Festival, in ratings is like the annual screening of Donald Duck over Christmas that for some odd reason
oh,
everybody
right.
seems to watch.
Yeah.
People in Sweden are obsessed with Pick and Mix Candy, Melody Festivalen, and Kalle Anka, Donald Duck.
Ah, see, I don't speak Swedish.
I
well, now you know how to say
Anka,
Donald Duck.
I think that was the translation of that Pitbull song from like 2010.
Go on.
Kalle Anka.
Kai Ocho.
Ocho, yeah.
It's a joke
that landed really well.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have the Melody Festival in lineup now, this huge festival. A couple of names that might even be familiar to American ears.
Indeed they do.
Yes.
Anna Bergendahl, who represented Sweden in 2010, did not qualify for the final, but still well-beloved. She was in the national final last year, had a great song called Ashes to Ashes. She is back. Viktor Krohn is back. He represented Estonia last year. He's singing for his home country, Sweden, this year. The Mamas.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the lovely backing singers for John Lundvik.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mama Cass and the other one.
Grandma Moses.
Yeah,
she's
that's
in
right.
there too.
Yeah.
Ooh, grandmamas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for them.
Yeah, me too.
They seem great.
And Robin Bengtsson can, in fact, he can...
Go on.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so Robin Bengtsson is back as well. So we'll see if he gets a return ticket to Eurovision. In terms of acts who have not made it to Eurovision yet, that we're really excited to see what's in the future for them, perennial favorite, Mariette.
I love Mariette.
Yeah.
Mariette is the Mary best. That's terrible.
oh, we're still keeping that in.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Can we play a clip of a previous Mariette song? And if so, can it be, oh boy, A Million Years? What do you think? Yeah.
A Million Years or Don't
Derek.
Stop Believing?
Oh, God. I don't know. It's A Million Years.
All right.
Derek! Baby, I'll never let you go. Whether you lose or whether you win. Baby, can't you see? Can't you see me through the tears? I could wait a million years. She is great. I think she is perfect for Eurovision, and it's only a matter of time before she gets through.
Mm-hmm.
And when she does, watch out.
Assuming she has the right song.
I know.
That's the
I'm
thing
just
about
saying.
Melody Festival. And, like, we have all these great names, but we will not hear the song in full until basically the day of the show.
Yeah. Melfest is weird like that. Is there a stated reason for that?
I don't know if it's been officially stated, but I think it's just to sort of ensure fairness that you're not going to have something become a massive chart viral hit before anybody else has a chance to. It kind of evens out the playing field a little bit more.
Those Swedes, their integrity.
Yeah, what's up with that? What's that like?
Yeah. It's interesting considering Estee Lau's songs are all out in full right now.
Yeah.
And that's not until...
That's not for a while yet either.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting to see how different countries kind of do that. Right. And also, it's a great way to sort of increase the hype.
That is true.
That they kind of let little bits of information out in dribs and drabs. Like, they'll let the artists out, now they'll have, like, a brief introduction of what their song might be like. Like, we know that Mariette's song is going to be a bit more up-tempo than what she normally does. We don't really know super much else. About a week before the show, we'll have a tiny little clip, like a 10-second or 30-second snippet of the song, and maybe, like, a chart of how party is this song, how emotional is this song. It's really, really in-depth.
Sweden, this is way too much.
It really is.
So, do you think that... Is that a factor in terms of why Melfest is so big? And I guess if not, why is it so big? It has a high production value in relation to a lot of the other national finals and things like that. Sweden just has a storied history at Eurovision, being successful at Eurovision, which we'll get into in a little bit. But what's the deal?
What's the deal with Melody Festival?
Yeah. Why is it such a big thing?
Imagine if there was a show in the U.S. that brought together well-established acts, both like current acts as well as legacy acts from, say, your parents' generation, brand new faces, people who are just fresh off of, you know, The Voice or Idol or whatever, and everybody's bringing their best.
So it's The Masked Singer.
Ooh. It is the number one show on TV.
No shame, I love it. Come on, Rottweiler, you can do it.
Come on, Masked Eurovision.
There is something really impressive about Melody Festival, though. If you watch it, they put in, like, full production value into these performances. So it's like watching Eurovision.
Only in Swedish.
And every song is like a home, is a local boy or girl.
Mm-hmm. I guess when you put it that way, if somebody said, like, hey, would you want to watch Eurovision except it's all Swedes? I would be like, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So, okay, I get it now.
You see a much more pared down version of the songs in like Estee Lau or something. The stage is a lot smaller, the arena's smaller. There's a little bit more conservative budget in terms of staging.
That's not the case with
Melo. No, they go all out. And I don't know if you want to get into this right now, but what you see on stage during Melfest is basically what they bring to Eurovision.
Yeah.
They have a polished act ready to go that they might tweak slightly, but that's it.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to get.
I mean, when Robin Bengtsson sang I Can't Go On at Melody Festival, you know, you had the treadmills out, you had the backing singers and the backing dancers doing their thing, and it was very, very similar to what we ended up seeing in Kiev.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons why when you see Sweden at Eurovision, they are so polished, because they've literally been working on these songs for months and months.
I mean, they're working on them right now, presumably.
Yeah, if not earlier.
Yeah.
To a stadium bigger than the one that they will be performing in.
Honestly, actually, let me look at the size of... Because it's Friends Arena in Stockholm. Anyway, yeah, Friends Arena concerts can hit 65,000.
Oh!
That's pretty big.
According to Wikipedia, the highest record attendance at Friends Arena was an Eminem show in 2018, 57,520.
Oh, and he didn't make it to Eurovision?
He didn't even make it to the second chance round. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have sworn so much.
That's greatest. Another thing. You can swear at Melody Festival.
That's true. I mean, Robin
Bengtsson's original version.
So at Eurovision, he kept saying, I can't go on when you look this freaking beautiful. That is not what he said at Melfest.
There was a song by Lisa Ajax a couple years ago called I Don't Give Up. And it was like, I don't give up. And it was just, I don't give a beep what the others, but unbeeped. And just like, it's a different language. They're not going to censor it on Swedish television.
Sure.
Which is ironic because they speak English as well as we do.
I know, but it's technically not their language. So, yeah.
They're also just like not prudes or whatever. So.
No, they're not.
Did that one didn't make it to Eurovision though,
no,
right?
No, it didn't.
Okay. What do you think they would have done if it had?
They probably would have done something adorably cheeky in censoring her.
Oh, like the Lily Allen thing?
Yeah. Yeah, they probably would have pulled Lily Allen.
Yeah, let's play a clip of Oh, no,
no
we can't.
We shouldn't. We
can't do that.
Anyway,
another
reason why Melody Festival is just so big is that the songs from Melfest reliably become massive, massive national hits.
Uh-huh.
Even if they don't win, they are almost, you know, a speedway to the Swedish charts. So if you are given the opportunity to appear on Melody Festival, and even if you don't necessarily expect to win the ticket, it's a great opportunity. If you're a new artist, it's a great sounding board. If you are an older artist, it's a great way to kind of reintroduce yourself to the market. It's really just a hit machine, as Sweden is.
What's the size of the field? at Melody Fest.
Okay, so there are 28 songs and singers in total. There are 4 semifinals, 7 songs apiece. Some songs will directly go to the final, which will be at the Friends Arena in Stockholm.
Sure.
And then a number of songs will also move on to what they call the second chance round, or Andra Chansen, which will be the week before the final, where they'll have sort of like a repechage. So
all of the people who did pretty well but didn't make it through,
yeah, so
they
normally
get to try again.
Yeah, so normally what'll happen is that the top 2 out of the 7 in a semifinal will go to the final.
Mm-hmm.
And then numbers 3 and 4 will move on to the second chance round.
Gotcha. So that allows some acts to go on just in case, like, by luck of the draw, they were in a stacked
round. Really, really stacked
round.
One, yeah.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, there's only been one winner of Melody Festival to go through a second chance round. That would have been 2013, Robin Quenberg with You, which is just a catchy little... Actually,
you!
You know, let's play...
You!
Yeah, let's play You, Derek.
Derek, play You! 'Cause of you!
Another really fun thing about Melodifestivalen, which really can't work at Eurovision, is the fact that this show goes on over the span of multiple weeks, and they actually rotate around different cities within Sweden for each individual show. So at Eurovision, everything happens in the host city. There's no variation. For Melodifestivalen, 6 different cities have the chance to show off their arenas to really have the focus of the country on their hometown. It's not just all in Stockholm. It's actually really nicely spread out.
They have other cities besides Stockholm.
Yeah, they have many of them. So it'll be as far north as Luleå, which is way the hell north.
I was wondering if they would go all the way, just all the way up there.
I think Luleå is about the most northern... I'm just gonna roll with this. I hate you guys so much.
I was just wondering...
Yes, Eric, the answer is yes. They will go all the way.
Nice. Where else do they go, Sam?
They go all the way from the top, all the way... Basically, they bounce all over the country. Moving on to next topic.
Got it. Finland. Never mind. We're not going to talk about Finland.
Also, the show is not just a great music show. It becomes a really popular comedy vessel. It's a big just show, to put it lightly. And sometimes it's a really interesting mix of hosts as well. Like a couple years ago, Dolph Lundgren was one of the hosts of Melodifestivalen.
But he's Russian.
He's that good of an actor
that is a genius.
He is.
Okay.
He literally
range.
Is a genius.
He literally is.
He just showed up. He was
the host.
And he just...
He was between movies, direct-to-video movies with Jean-Claude Van Damme. And
oh, good.
All right.
Yes. So, yeah, may as well. So you had at one point Måns Zelmerlöw before he won Eurovision and Dolph Lundgren duetting on Eye of the Tiger.
You're kidding.
It's a thing that happened.
You haven't seen this?
No.
I don't like this.
I like it. Can we play a clip of it? Do we have a clip of it?
Can we play a clip of it?
Let's play a clip of it.
Okay. Clip time! Rising up, back on the street.
Did my time, took my chances. Okay then.
Yeah, I'm gonna go beat up some guy.
Alright,
let's do it.
Let's leave the world of throwing to all the clips from Melody Festival. And should we talk about Sweden as a whole? Should we talk about Sweden's proud and storied history?
It's big, it's cold, it's way up there.
That's Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Patent pending.
TM.
So when did Sweden begin with Eurovision? If memory serves, they weren't in it for a good couple of years. They were not part of the original eight.
Nope. They joined in 1958.
Okay.
Alice Babs' Lille Stjärna, Little Star. That was their only internal selection. And from 1959 onward, they have done Melodifestivalen.
And it's been Melodifestivalen every single time. The winner of Melodifest has been the one that's sent to Eurovision.
I believe so. I'm trying to think if there have been any exceptions to that.
Cases.
I mean, other than, you know, I don't think there's ever been. If I am wrong, our Twitter followers, please let us know if I'm wrong again at 12pointsUSA.
Fact check us.
Yeah, call us out on our crap.
One of the best ways to get the right answer to something is to give the wrong answer to something and wait about 30 seconds.
For the internet to jump on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So can we talk about Elise Babs for a second?
The first
Swede at Eurovision.
Please do.
So she had a really interesting life as it turned out. She was a child actress and was very, very successful in Sweden and in a fairly wholesome, fun way. But apparently she was so wholesome that it was a controversy in Sweden that she was affecting the culture and affecting the youth in a way that some people weren't comfortable with. But basically, what? It's like, imagine if you will, all the kids in the 1930s in the US want to be like Shirley Temple.
Yes.
That's basically what happened around the same time in Sweden, and they had a problem with it.
Aww.
It was apparently kind of the thing. After Eurovision, she went on to be a pretty successful jazz singer. She was a longtime collaborator of Duke Ellington and spent a good amount of time in the U.S. As a result of that.
That is so cool. She lived a long and wonderful life. She only passed away in 2014 at the ripe old age of 90. She was the one who kicked it all off for Eurovision in Sweden. I had no idea that she was one that big and that... I'm still like wrapping my head around, how can you be too wholesome for Sweden?
I love that she's the one that they sent, and it was I'm going to do my best Swedish father voice here.
Oh, it's the accent of the week, guys.
Uh-huh. And it was, Alice, my beautiful Alice babes. Why? You're too wholesome. I don't want you to go on TV making, yeah, it's not good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to quote...
Wow.
I'm going to quote Wikipedia here. Despite being cast as a well-behaved, good-hearted, cheerful girl, the youth culture forming with Babs as its icon caused outrage among members of the older generation. A vicar called the Babs cult, words, not mine, the foot and mouth disease of cultural life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
About Alice Babs?
Yes.
About Lil Babs?
About Lil Babs.
Oh, wait, I take that back. There actually was a singer called Lil Babs who sang for Sweden in 1961.
Of course.
Wait, oh, God.
All right, so
what controversy did they cause?
I don't know.
Let's see.
It was just like Lil Kim at the Grammys that one year when she wore the pasty. Mm. It was like that. She did the same thing on Eurovision.
So she did the song April, April, but is also well known for a song that translates to Are You Still in Love with Me, Klaus Guron?
That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't
it? I know.
Klaus Guron?
I guess.
That's my favorite Norwegian-born Israeli prime minister. My absolute favorite.
He's currently in prison for corruption.
Wow.
Moving on.
All right. We have 50 more Swedish artists to go through, so sit tight. We're not going to do that.
I just want to call out one of my favorite really early Swedish Eurovision entries of all time. I mean, it's one of my favorites just period.
Is this another one where they're on bicycles?
Sadly, no. But there is a flute, and they're singing about banging on pots and pans in 1966. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool. It was Lill Lindfors and Svante Thoresen with Ny Gammal Vals, or New Yet Familiar Waltz. And it's just this... little freeform jazz song about how a princess and a swineherd swap places, and this princess, all she wants to do is bang on a pot.
On the drum all day.
Literally!
She doesn't want to work, yeah.
And it was this sweet, cheeky, using, like, the Swedish slang of the day. There's like, hey, like, groovy chick, you want to bang on my casserole pot? And it was just... It's the most charming thing
ever.
Oh
my God.
It's amazing.
I'm gonna try that line next time.
Oh, it came in second.
Oh,
it came in second. So this is Sweden, 1960.
What beat it out? What beat out our casserole pot?
Austria's Udo Jürgens with Merci Cherie.
Piece of crap.
I know. It was a landslide, too. But yeah, so Sweden's first dalliance with the podium came in 1966.
Can't wait until we do an entire show on Austria's history just so we can poop all over them. Took it from our casserole dish!
So I'm noticing, for a few years in the 60s and 70s, Sweden did not participate, which I did not know. Were there reasons for that? I mean, I'm sure there were reasons for it, but like what...
It was that one day when they switched the traffic directions on which side of the street they drive.
Oh.
And they couldn't recover for 4 years.
I think a lot of countries actually bowed out in 1970 in sort of semi-protest of the four-way win in 1969 that happened.
Oh, right.
There was like a real disorganization there. Eurovision 1964, I'm not exactly sure why Sweden bowed out on that. I'm sure I can figure that out if I did more research, but...
you don't need to do that.
No. 1976, why did they not do it in 1976?
Oh, they were too busy watching Rocky.
Oh, wait a minute, I found it. Sweden withdrew from the contest as the broadcaster did not have enough money to host another contest if they won again.
Oh my God.
Well,
according to Wikipedia.
It's the only way to be sure.
To be fair, that is the thing that we have kind of touched on sometimes, is that like some countries literally cannot afford to bring an act.
Yeah.
It's just weird that happened to Sweden.
Yeah.
Who I think has the entertainment infrastructure of us.
Well, then again, 1976. It was a slightly different time. This is just post-ABBA.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, because they won in 74.
Post-ABBA world, post-Vietnam. Everyone was recovering for a lot of reasons.
Nice of them to assume that they would have won, though, too. Like, oh, we can't possibly compete. Yeah. We would just win again.
Which is kind of funny.
Just send ABBA again.
Which is funny considering they came back in 77 and came in last place.
Oh, my God. Get wrecked, Sweden!
And they say karma's not a thing.
Who was the singer?
It was a band called Forbes.
Forbes?
Singing a song called Beatles.
You know, the Beatles songs.
Yeah.
Sweden.
Yeah.
It's nice to see to which depths Sweden can sink. Because you know, they have done so well in the past and have done so well recently.
Yeah,
this decade has been phenomenal for them. Really, really, really amazing. So in this decade, they've won twice. They won in 2012 with Euphoria.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Considered one of the greatest winners of all time by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And 2015 with Heroes, which is one of my favorites. I think a lot of people's favorites. They didn't qualify in 2010. That was Anna Bergendahl, who you mentioned.
Yep.
That is the last time they didn't qualify. Since not qualifying in 2010, they have finished outside of the top five twice.
Mm.
Outside of the top...
The top five, even?
Yeah, outside of the top 10 once. And they
have
finished...
That was when they were a host, so it would be, the pressure was kind of off.
Yeah, and they have finished outside of the top three in a semifinal when they were in a semifinal. How many times do you think?
Zero.
Never below... Third place in a semifinal
this decade.
Since then, which
it's
is,
a track
which is
record.
Crazy.
Yeah. I don't think that's equaled by anyone else.
It is not.
It's incredible. I mean, the Russians might be able to flirt with that kind of number
because they have a lot of friends.
Well, then again, so does Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are sort of the heart of a Nordic bloc. I mean, you've got Finland, Norway, Denmark, Iceland, plus all the people who consume Swedish pop culture. Like, Sweden, that's one of their biggest exports,
is the music,
Volvos, IKEA, and music.
That's right. Mm.
They gave us Ace of Base.
Give it back.
That's nice.
Moving on. They have given us absolute massive, massive hits, both in Eurovision and beyond. They've given us ABBA, which goes without saying. Just massive, massive, you know, hit maker after hit maker after hit maker, ABBA.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even win their first time in Melody Festival. Waterloo was their second go-around.
No kidding.
Yeah. They had
What was their first?
They tried the previous year with a song called Ring Ring.
Oh, Ring Ring. Why don't you give me a call? I like that song.
You know that one.
Yes. Ring Ring's a... Why are you looking at me like I'm insane? Ring Ring is one of their big singles.
I don't know, Danny.
Yeah.
Why are we?
I mean, it is kind of 70s pop garbage.
Oh, totally.
It's Ring Ring is fun. Yeah.
Yeah, Ring Ring was... Well, yeah, that was fun. So... There are so many other incredible moments that Sweden has given us, either through Melody Festival or through their hosting. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the glory that is Love, Love, Peace, Peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep, again.
Was that in 2016?
That was in 2016.
Yeah.
That was an interval act. Petra Mede, who I named my car for. And Måns Zelmerlöw.
Because Petra's reliable.
She is. She's...
I'm going to shut up.
Love, Love, Peace, Peace, which is just the encapsulation of everything that Eurovision stands for in one interval act distillation.
It's a wonderful piece of self-awareness. It's
yeah,
great.
It is.
Basically, if you've never heard it, and Derek will play a clip momentarily. In fact, he'll probably interrupt my ex.
Love, love, peace, peace. For women making bread. Peace, peace, love, love. And imagine a happens to be. Love, peace, peace, love. Make it unforgettable and you will be the best.
Double-decker bus. And then it's great. It's a Eurovision song about Eurovision, and it's perfect.
Major props to scriptwriter Eddie Alcilian for coming up with that. That was a brilliant, brilliant piece.
I think the kudos goes to all of the like acrobatics acts and all of the weird gimmick like visuals that they were able to arrange for that one too.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And to Alexander Rybak, who actually showed up.
Yes.
To
yeah. Yes.
Yeah. They got like a sort of
train, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
A sort of Polish butter churner and the sort of Yevgeny Plushenko and
the sort of Lorraine crab walking across the stage.
And sort of grandma.
The guy running in the hamster wheel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flaming piano.
Mm-hmm. And the burning big piano. Oh. Yep. Oh, brilliant.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Also wanted to give a major shout out to one of my favorite characters that was created at Melody Festival, and I want to say it was 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Woodruff, who...
I don't think Danny knows this.
I have no clue what this is.
I saw this in the
notes that we had ready for the episode. It's Linda Woodruff, spokesperson for the EBU, and I have no idea what this is.
Linda Woodruff is the alter ego of Swedish singer Sarah Dawn Finer,
okay,
who is half English and Swedish.
Half Swedish, yes.
So she came up with this character named Linda Woodruff. She's a spokesperson from the EBU. And she just has... She's so eager and yet so clueless and so wonderful. And just go onto YouTube. Look up Linda Woodruff. She started out in 2012 as Eurovision was prepping to go to Azerbaijan, which she always pronounces Azerbaijan. She would just try to pronounce it to Azerbaijan, to Baku. With the song running, I'm scared. And our singer from last year, Eric Sadady, with the song Popular. He was third. And it just built on itself and built on itself and built on itself. And so when Sweden hosted it in 2013...
Was she one of the hosts?
Linda Woodruff popped up.
Oh, okay. She was there.
Only Petra was hosting, but Linda Woodruff popped up. Just bubbled to the surface like the milk
right
on top of your cappuccino.
There.
Up in there. But yes, so that is... I love Linda Woodruff. It's so ridiculous.
It's such a great character. I watched the Melfest final live for the first time this past year, and I did not know who Linda Woodruff was. But I was chatting with Sam, because we were both watching, and I remember just thinking, like, is this for, like, is she serious? It's so well done. It's really, really well
done.
That
if you didn't know the backstory on it, you would think it was for real.
Well, I don't know. It seemed like it was clearly a bit, but it's a really well done bit.
Yeah, it is very well loved, especially by me.
She's hilarious. Yeah. So yeah, Linda Woodruff. Google it, but not until you finish listening to 12 Points for America, your favorite show.
Just a couple more minutes here. As we round out the end of the episode, we did ask our Twitter followers, since we have enough people who are actually paying attention to us.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Thanks, everyone, by the way.
To answer our questions on Twitter, we asked them what they think of when we say Sweden at Eurovision. We got a couple of responses that I think are pretty in line.
Yeah, definitely. We had a whole bunch of people referencing Eurovision acts that they love by name, you know, Loreen, Carola. And then we had some really other, more in-depth responses. Eurovision Lemurs, our dear friends at Eurovision Lemurs, channeled one of my favorite words to describe a Eurovision performance. Slick.
I swear we have used that for Sweden before.
Oh yeah, because that's it in a nutshell.
They have their production.
They're slick.
You know what I'm looking forward to in terms of being slick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sandro.
Ooh. Could Cyprus be the slick ones?
When they're doused in enough Moroccan oil.
He slid off the stage.
I hate to get us too far away from Sweden, but I hope that Cyprus does really well, because this would make 3 years in a row that they've had a super solid song. So if Sandro gets a nice, slick club banger again, can't wait for Cyprus.
How much you want to bet? Like, you're like hoping this, and then he's going to come out with this big emotive ballad.
It's going to be Serhat.
He's going to rip off his Mission Impossible style rubber face mask. It's going to be Serhat underneath, recovered from whatever throat cold he had.
It took a whole year, but he's...
And then I'm going to wake up in a cold sweat, and it'll all be a dream.
Moving on.
All right. Our friend 58 Points, who actually is a friend of ours.
Way more points than us. Screw them.
Hey. Leave John alone. He's good people.
They use the same word.
Yeah. This word came up again. Sweden mostly sends something professional and slick, but smooth on the palate and forgettable.
Smooth.
Pablum.
Like pablum.
Pablum. It's just a great word, pablum.
Yeah.
I already forgot it. Some nice oatmeal.
Shout out to pablum, friend of the show.
Ewan Spence just says Christer.
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 Christer. Do not take the Swedish Lord's name in vain.
Wanted to be a little more Christer.
Not Christy enough. You want to be a little more Christer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Christer Bjorkman, who actually started out as a singer and eventually became the Svengali behind the scenes of a lot of Eurovision, was the head of delegation.
Performed at Eurovision.
He did. He
not
did.
Not very well.
Not very well,
unfortunately.
One
of their worst results, unfortunately.
He sang for them in 1992, came in 22nd place out of, let's see, how many songs were in
1992?
21.
23.
Oh, really? Oh, wow!
Wow.
Yeah. Then he discovered he was better behind the camera.
Yes.
Yeah. His song is called Imornare Nanandog, which means tomorrow is another day, and that kind of became his mantra. That he just picked himself up and ended up becoming behind the scenes producer, really the Svengali behind Sweden at Eurovision. Everything from song selection to he was the head of the delegation for many years. You could not have Sweden at Eurovision without Christer Björkman. He was just omnipresent. We mentioned earlier how this year it's a Dutch all team. That it's really the Dutch behind the scenes for Eurovision 2020.
Except for him?
No, Christer...
Or was he was always this presence?
He was constantly there. He was always there. He was a consultant. He would be... When a country didn't know who to turn to, they would turn to Christer.
Get me Christer Björkman!
And he would come up with this very polished, slick kind of thing. That is what he's known for. But, you know, so he's kind of taking a couple of steps back now, but he's actually one of the people who might be at the helm of this potential American song festival that's coming up. So he's behind the scenes with that. So you can't have recent history of Sweden at Eurovision without mentioning Chris Bjorkman.
Gotcha.
Robin Gallagher, who is one of the contributors to Weeby Blog, so one of the big websites focusing on the fan perspective at Eurovision, had a really great insight on this. She said, Sweden is to Eurovision what New Zealand is to the Rugby World Cup. When they win, it feels effortless. When they do poorly, it feels shocking. There's also the sense that they're good at it because the country has made an effort to be really good at this one thing.
Sweden has devoted all of its manpower to engineering good pop songs.
Right. Robin, I think, has hit the nail right on the head.
Pop songs and furniture.
Yeah.
There must be something, like, in their school system or somewhere.
Music
education must be really good there to have so many people very musically inclined.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think that this is an example of what happens when that stuff matters to a nation.
Yeah. Mm.
Is this is something that they really want to take pride in, and they do.
They really
and that's
do.
That's awesome. So thank you, Robin. Yeah. That was great. Dancing on my own. It's very good.
Oh, God, I want Robin, the singer, to be...
Can you imagine?
She's Swedish.
She is Swedish.
It could happen. Maybe not this year, but someday. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with us and let us know your thoughts of what you think of when you think about Sweden at Eurovision, hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. I am on Twitter directly at ESC Insider. Eric, you are?
I'm on Twitter at Eric is tweeting. That's E-R-I-K is tweeting. Because I am tweeting. I'm actually mostly retweeting. Mm-hmm. So if you like weird Carly Rae Jepsen jokes and leftist memes, check me out.
Good anyway. Derek and Danny, of course, are not on Twitter.
Jerks. I thought about joining Twitter.
Really?
The other day.
You hit a moment of weakness, huh?
I mean, I might.
And then what happened?
Might.
Uh-oh. Then what can we joke about?
I forgot about.
Oh, Derek's not on it. We can joke about him not being on it.
Yeah, we can simply come up. I have a Twitter account.
You just never use it.
I never use it. I can't even remember what my login is.
Well, we will figure that out, and we will all let you know what Derek's login is in the next episode.
But until then, folks, America, stop listening now.
And it's dun 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 Daria dun dun yeah.